You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonsalves here with SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 15th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, rents for apartments, they are down the most in more than a decade. We'll tell you why soon. But first to Virgin Australia, and CEO Paul Scurrah is stepping down. It's the intention that former Jetstar boss Jane Herdlicker takes over. Now, Mr. Scurrah says that he's spoken with the new owners of Virgin, Bain, which has reaffirmed that Virgin Australia will not be repositioned as a low-cost carrier. But I guess nothing is concrete until we actually hear from the new owners, especially in a new aviation environment amid COVID-19. And the players in the sector like Qantas, which takes that premium full-service space, Jetstar, the low-cost carrier, and the regional airline Rex, which is now going to be flying what's called the Golden Triangle, Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. So what does it mean for Virgin Frequent Flyers and the Velocity program? I spoke earlier with Steve Huey, the CEO of iFly Flat. Steve, how important is the Virgin Velocity business to the airline?
It's super important. When I was looking at the financials yesterday for my own blog, last year Virgin Velocity made $122 million, whereas Virgin Domestic only made about $133 million. So that's making a lot of money for the airline, over about half its profits. So it's super valuable. And I think with COVID situation, all the airlines in the world have realized that their frequent flyer programs are so valuable. Like a lot of American ones that has gotten like billions of dollars of debt secured purely by their frequent flyer program. So they were definitely not going to be making any drastic changes to put offside their customers, which is where the Virgin Velocity profits come from.
So what's that likely to mean for Virgin Australia frequent flyer points?
Yeah, I think with sort of like smaller flight network and maybe some lounges not going to be as premium, naturally, the Virgin Velocity points will be devalued because you're not going to have to buy capacity. It's what you used to be able to do before. But unfortunately, I think with the whole COVID situation, if you look globally, a lot of things have been devalued. So the best way is to not just look at the Virgin points in isolation before and after. It's actually the whole landscape has completely changed. I think we've just got to live with that.
CEO of iFly Flat there, Steve Huey. Now to the Australian unemployment rate, which rose 0.1% in September to 6.9%. It's a bit better than what the market expected, even though 30,000 jobs were lost. And that 6.9% level, it's below the OECD average of 7.4%. But does it really reflect the true nature of the jobs market? For that and more, I spoke earlier with Hans Cunnan, the senior economist at St. George. Hans, the September unemployment rate only rose to 6.9%. Why? And did that surprise you?
No, we were expecting a rise, possibly a bit higher. But given that we were expecting 40 to 50,000 job losses, it came in at 30. No change in the participation rate. So, yeah, just a small uptick. Still too large, but yeah. Given the size of the job losses, the increase in the unemployment rate by just the 1 point was reasonable.
Still at 6.9%, does it really reflect the true nature of the jobs market?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. When you think that about 900,000 people unemployed and another 800,000 or so on JobKeeper, you know, if you add those two together, people who technically have jobs but maybe don't, you know, it would be far higher, closer to 14%. And then you look at the underemployment rate at, you know, 11. So it's still a very weak labour market, but it is totally confused by, I guess, government policy, JobKeeper, and simply by the state of the recession.
Still, what does it say about the future of jobs growth? Is it positive?
Well, if you take the last 3 months as an aggregate, certainly it's gone up. Borders have changed. Economies have opened, and that's been positive, but we're still way behind where we were back in February and March. So, look, the fact that we gained 100-odd thousand jobs last month, 130, I think it was, and we only slipped back the 29. That's not bad. It could be worse. as the governor said, it's a rocky road to it's an uneven road to recovery, and we're going to see ups and downs along the way.
Is it possible that we've seen a peak in the unemployment rate when we saw it at 7.5% already?
I'd like to think so, but one wonders how long JobKeeper can keep people going. These figures were the last of the JobKeeper at the higher level. It's come down now. Will businesses cope? How long can they hang on for? You know, we fear it could go, you know, into the mid sevens, maybe not the 10 that the Reserve Bank was expecting. But, you know, yes, a few percent more is entirely possible.
And what does this all mean for interest rates?
Until the unemployment rate gets back into the 6% zone, or well into the 6%, you know, below 6%, we're going to have stimulatory policy, and interest rates are going to stay either where they are or we expect even lower, because the Reserve Bank even said today, if we can make an impact on jobs growth, we will act. And we think they probably will in November.
St. George senior economist there, Hans Cunnan. Now to the Australian share market, which hit a seven-month high today. The S&P ASX 200 up by 0.5% to 6,210. That's as the RBA governor kept the door open for further interest rate cuts. BHP up by 2.1%. Whitehaven Coal, a standout, up 11.6%. The banks did well today. The Commonwealth Bank up 0.9%, but tech stocks ended their eight-day winning streak. For more on this, I spoke with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data CEO. Mathan, the market's higher today. Why?
Well, that's a $50 million question. It's an interesting one because the main drivers today are mining stocks and energy stocks, which is a bit of a surprise because iron ore is actually down the last couple of days. We've obviously seen geopolitics with coal playing out. So it's an interesting thematic. The stocks that you would have thought fundamentally should have downside risk are actually up today. We've had a pretty decent inflation data out of China. China has put in a fair amount of short-term money into the market to, relieve credit issues in the short term. So that's been positive for the Chinese markets. And recently we've seen China buying into the yen trade. They've been buying Japanese bonds. They're following the Warren Buffett strategy of buying against the US dollar. So the market is probably reading into that, thinking commodities are going to do okay.
Tech stocks, though, ending 8 days of gains.
Yeah, the tech stocks are the flip side of that trade. So our market is dominated by, resources and industrials. So you have the flip trade. So the money is leaving the tech stocks, which have outperformed in recent times, and going into resources. And also the other thing to remember is that, if you think the US dollar is going to come down, Aussie dollar goes up, and that's generally negative for most of the tech stocks.
Speaking of the dollar, any reaction to those jobs numbers coming out today?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, I always love these big numbers coming out of ABS, because if you look at it on a relative basis, we must be either killing it or actually getting killed. So if you're down 30,000 jobs in a month, you know, on a comparable basis, that's nearly double what America used to do in peak cycles. So we should be getting absolutely murdered. So I think you got to take that with a pinch of salt. But the reality is, after 3 months, we've actually started to lose jobs. So the recovery cycle is fading. We're seeing that globally. The economic recovery cycles are beginning to fade everywhere. But most of the world is being affected by second or third wave pandemic, where Australia has been relatively risk-free. I mean, obviously, Victoria has been affected, and that's playing in the numbers. So as long as we stay clean of that, we should be okay. But I think we're going to have low growth for longer.
And we heard from the RBA governor today, who essentially said, get ready for another rate cut. Is the market already trading as if we'll see a November interest rate cut? And more importantly, what does that mean for investments?
Yeah, when you come from 4% or 5% down to 1%, it's very positive and it's very bullish for equity markets. But when you are down at 0.25%, when you're going to get a 10 basis point cut, does it really change the cycle? I don't think so. Did the market expect more rate cuts? I think it's inevitable. RBA has been talking dovish for a while. I think whether they cut or not is not the problem. I think they've already said they're not going to raise rates unless they see substantial inflation above level, and they don't see that for 3 years. So, you know, get ready for low returns for longer, low growth for longer. So in that outlook, I think equity markets for the, in a sad way, is the only place to be. I think everything else will struggle. At least in equities, you can get a decent return in a low growth environment.
Nathan Somasundaram there from Deep Data. Let's end on apartment rents. According to Domain, rents for units in our two biggest cities have fallen because of a collapse in overseas migration. So in Sydney, rents fell 1% in the quarter, Melbourne down 3.6%. Around the rest of the country, though, we saw gains. Darwin up by 2.6% for the quarter, Perth up by 6.3%, Adelaide 6.3% firmer as well, Hobart up by 5.3%, Canberra 1.1% higher, and Brisbane up by 3.9%. But when compared to a year ago, unit rents in both Sydney and Melbourne, so that's compared to a year ago, are almost 5% lower. With more, here is Domain researcher Nicola Powell.
What we have seen is a decrease in demand due to fewer international students and obviously overseas migration due to those international border closures. And also we find with inner city unit markets, which are seeing the brunt of falling asking rents, they have been more exposed to the job losses associated with COVID-19 and also have a higher proportion of households renting.
Nicola Powell there from Domain. So that's good news for renters, not necessarily good news for landlords. That is On the Money for this Thursday, the 15th of October 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo.
This On the Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.